One. Yo, 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 yo. We're back. Episode 47 of the Ellie Khalil. I'm here. I'm back. Joined with a special guest host, Ahmad the Prince. A good
What's
friend.
goody?
A good bro. A good guy all around. I'm happy you're here. I'm happy we're back. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling pretty good right now. Like, very chill day. Very productive, honestly. I got like a lot of things to do, but honestly, I'm just glad to be here.
Got class, got work, music, all of the above, I'm assuming, right?
Yes.
How's
And
that?
it's been like a roller coaster. I ain't gonna hold you. But at least that after this month, after this month, that I won't have to worry about at least half of the stuff regarding classes and stuff. So I'm glad to do other stuff in PRs and music and basically anything aside from school.
Awesome, got more free time. Is this, from what I understand, this is like midterms season for a couple of people?
For a couple of people, the college I'm in, it doesn't have set midterms at a set date for others, because we kind of have it a little bit earlier than others, so
okay.
It made things a bit harder, some things a bit easier. It just depends on how you take it.
I got you. We're a couple of days removed, okay, from Euphoria, okay, season two finale. Let's talk about a little bit of season one up till now. You know, when you first, do you remember the trailer dropping? Do you remember the announcement? Zendaya, executive produced by Drake, Euphoria, HBO, summer 2019. Like, do you remember where you were? Do you remember the anticipation? What were your expectations coming into Euphoria?
Honestly, it caught me by surprise that Drake and Future were executive producers of the fucking film. But at the time, I didn't really expect anything that was going to be groundbreaking or at least mainstream. Granted, I'm not saying that show is not going to be mainstream or popular regardless, because not only you have Zendaya, but you also have all these other sub characters and sub classes and all these actors and actresses that do their own thing and build a foundation over time. So it was great to see that. And also the point of how the trailers were dropped, it felt like we were in for a roller coaster, not just for regular drugs that the majority will use, like say weed, alcohol, et cetera, but more like morphines and coke, all these pills, all these syringes, heroin, all these types of things, all these drugs that people never heard of or people never seen or tried, that just being implemented on screen makes things a little bit different. But I assure you, it didn't stop people from smoking weed or being high while watching the show. It just did not.
I'm definitely taking your word for it. With you, how do you approach Euphoria Day, aka Sunday? But how were you approaching Euphoria Day after you was like, okay, this is pretty good in season one? Like, how were you approaching it? Did you have like a party? Not like a party, but like, you know, that it's Sunday, gotta have that fit on, gotta get some friends over, food. How did you approach it?
See, for the first time, when like the first season came out, we had a thought of having a group of people, just like a little get together, all watching the show. Because we usually do that with some shows in my house, some on Netflix, some on HBO Max. But over time, it kind of felt like everyone had their own stuff going on. So it just kind of stopped going that path, like the more episodes that drop. And same for season two. But my general approach to Euphoria Day is you have the LED lights for one, because everybody and their mama have LED lights whenever they watch it. It's self-explanatory. Right. And then afterwards, you probably get some food, probably light a candle or something. Maybe incense, but mostly just candles because it's more easier. And then obviously, just a blunt or two and I'm Gucci. That's basically how I will watch or approach Euphoria Day whenever that time comes.
I got you. When Euphoria came out, like throughout the summer, because it started in the summer, if I'm not mistaken, maybe June 19th or around June or July, I was broke. I didn't have no subscription to nothing. HBO Max was even a thought at that time, but I wasn't really watching much TV other than YouTube and Hulu. I think I had Hulu at that time. And I wasn't working the best of jobs until around 2020, like October, November. So we're already a year removed from Euphoria, like altogether. And I had just got my Mac, and I was saving good money, and so I was like, yo, I really want to watch Euphoria. Pandemic is, doing Steph Curry numbers at this point in time. We're all staying inside. And so I bought two movies. So I bought Euphoria. That was $30, which I have no regrets. And I bought Joker,
The new one.
Phoenix. Joaquin Phoenix Joker. I bought both, no regrets. I've only watched Joker once. That's how terrified I am of it. It's a great movie. And with Euphoria, having Euphoria, I had all the behind the scenes, all of it. It wasn't just the 8 episodes. It was everything they had, and it allowed me to be one on one with the show. I had my headies on. I'm immersed. I'm connected. I'm feeling it. The show HD, everything looks great. Lights off, maybe with some food, and I felt great. I felt great being in, like, being able to binge it. I was able to binge it, and just every episode was a dedication to a character. They all had their own episode in the beginning or whatnot, and I felt great. This season now, my approach was, at first I didn't want to watch the episode when they drop on Sunday, but I knew regardless I had to, because you only live once. So I didn't want to let any opportunity slip. And so I was there every Sunday. I enjoyed it. And with you from season one and season two, now granted, COVID has played a big part in shifting a lot of art and a lot of creations. But
Absolutely.
do you feel like, what do you feel from like what do you feel is different from season one and season two?
Think with season one, it kind of made a whole backstory or background characters turn into fleshed out ones for the second season. And then others kind of remained the same, but not a lot, only just like one or two. But overall, though, it made people realize what they were getting themselves into and their motivations and reasons for those said characters, whether they were good or bad. They had a certain part that they had to had a story that they had to play, like a certain role. And when it led to the second season, half of the stuff that we didn't know was gonna happen, they happened. And some of the stuff that we thought was gonna be concluded, they did. And the satisfaction of seeing that thing come to life and seeing the emotion and trauma that set those boundaries from the first season, it excelled for the second season. And if anything, it made things a little bit more better by how they twist some of the narratives. And for example, and I'm trying to make this as spoiler-free as possible because I know some people haven't watched the whole second season yet. But with Maddie and Nate's relationship for the first season and how that dynamic was interacted towards the second season with other characters and the drama that they had with their friends or family members, et cetera, it kind of made things very more tense and made things more introspective in a way.
I agree. I'm thinking right now from season one and season two, they had MVPs. What do you think?
Facts.
I feel like my MVP for season one, it was Fez. I think it was Fez. Season two, it was Lexi. It was Lexi. She had a, if not MVP, she definitely had like most improved player of the year.
Oh, yeah, for
Like
sure.
she definitely, and literally, I remember it wasn't too long ago after I finished it, I was like looking at Lexi and I'm like, she needs more screenplay. She needs more screen time. She needs more roles. And I think because Lexi's character is timid, she is shy, she is a bit pushy, push offish compared, definitely compared to his sister. You know, they're completely opposites. And I think, you know, what makes Euphoria and these types of projects special is they're going to set the seeds in these type of characters. When, like for myself in that example, like I felt like Lexi needed more play or screen time. She needed more. And it
Facts.
wasn't like, okay, this is going to be resolved in the next episode. They're going to let time pass, an entire season go, because they already have plans for her. They already have a plan for her to have this breakout, you know, season, this breakout, you know, character of Lexi, Lexi 2.0. We saw that earlier in season one with Kat. You know, Kat was very timid. She was, you know, I don't say bully, but in her social group, she was definitely the one that standing out for, you know, kind of the wrong reasons, right? And so for me, I think, you know, you can't have, you have to have pace. You gotta have patience. You know what I mean? And I think they really trusted themselves and they trusted their gut to stay patient, stay calm, and, you know, stay committed to, you know, their plan, you know? Yeah. So, Lexi, MVP, in my opinion, for this
Facts.
season, you know, definitely, like I was saying, just like the progression, they have a plan, you know, is they don't, I mean, some TV shows, they rush. You know what I mean? It's like, yeah, I could have been like, man, Lexi should have had this, or Lexi needs to be this next episode. No, they waited for the next season to happen the way that it did, and it showed, you know, shows with patience her progression and her, you know, coming to being better, coming to being who she's gonna be moving forward. And Euphoria just keeps on bringing new ways to tell a story. You know what I mean? Like to and to tell it great. You know, they told the last two episodes, the season finale and the second from last, in such a new and refreshing way, you know. And I think it was cool. You know, the cut scenes from what's happening currently and from the play. You know, the like you said about resolving things from season one and season two, Nate and Cal and what they were going through. You know, I think in WWE terms, I think Nate Jacobs is becoming a face, is becoming more of a face than a heel, than a bad guy. He might become a good guy now that the reason that he was feeling so bad or becoming the way he was is no longer there. You
True.
know, I remember they Nate and his mom, nothing to really spoil, but you know, Nate's mom was like, you're an angry person. And Nate was saying, no, his dad made him angry. He's angry at his dad. And you know, there's been moments that Nate has become, or Nate has shown to be a decent guy, a decent person, and now it just remains to be seen if Cal Jacobs really was that lingering poison that Nate needed to get rid of. So if Nate is completely you know, rid of his dad, and you know, I mean, I'm just curious how they're gonna write Cal back into it and Fez. But if, you know, if Nate's really becoming, is going to be able to become a better person, I'm all for it, you know. I still think no more than 4 seasons, you know. This is a show where we talked about this before. I don't want to become like Game of Thrones, you know. I don't want it
Yeah,
to
definitely not.
run its course, you know, run past its course, you know. I think so far they're telling a good story, you know, with adding Lexi to more in the mix, and Maddie's becoming more of her own person by being away from Nate. I think that's interesting. You know,
Facts.
Ethan becoming more interesting, you know, being a part of the play, you know, Lexi, of course. So, you know, last season was more of getting to know everyone and letting Rue shine, letting Cassie have her moments. Jules, I'll be so glad to, we don't even have to really talk
Man,
about Jules.
yeah, not really, not.
You know, in this season, they Euphoria, Sam, you know, really gave us more in-depth side characters, really gave us a more interesting story with Lexi and Ash and Fez, you know, and added Faye, who you know, Faye's a hard worker in real life too. So
100%.
her efforts and her contribution towards, you know, satisfying people is it should not go without, you know, appreciation and recognition. So
Of course. Yes. And not
yeah.
only to her, but shout out to all the other pro workers who are doing that thing
Yes.
and literally and mentally. So, yeah, good
Most
job.
definitely. Do you have any expectations for season three?
I will say this because I just saw a video about this a few times before we started this interview, or yeah, this whole thing. I was thinking to myself, remember that episode where Rue ran away from her parents, well, her mom and sister, and by the time she was going back to, I think his name was Lori, something like that. Lori, yeah, Lori, the same girl who got drugs from, and halfway through, I was kind of figuring out why they had it, like the morphine part, and they blurred out, you know, what Rue getting withdrawals symptoms from the tub and Lori just checking in on her, et cetera, et cetera. Even though when she said that the morphine that she had wasn't the type that she needed, that she still brought it out anyways. And so I thought that was another red flag. But then the more I thought about it, the more how subtle she said these types of words to make it seem like she was friendly, but it really wasn't. Because before she even got in that tub, she was talking about other ways that she can help get that side money back, that 10K. And she was talking basically about human trafficking. And
Yes.
there was a theory that the room where that lock key, well, yeah, where the lock was, it wasn't actually the birds that were in that room, but it was actually another woman who was scratching on that said door, meaning that she was either trapped or she was about to be sold around that same night. So now, fast forward to the tub scene. And then we see the panning of the morphine go to the TV. And then the TV talks about basically it looks like, you know, just two people exchanging a kitten, et cetera, et cetera. But they were talking about the negotiations regarding that. But now I thought it was only one thing. But then I just looked and realized I was processed it for a second. I was like, wait a minute. This is foreshadowing about what they might do to Rue had she not escaped from that area. So now my thing. My whole basically my thoughts or predictions for season three is because of how, judging from that whole episode alone and how that interaction went, that still went unresolved. I'm glad she got saved though, but it still isn't resolved. So I'm more concerned for Rue and Fez's sake at the same time, because I know that with Fez, he's going to be going through a lot of trials and tribulations. Same with Rue. And knowing for her safety, I hope that they don't come for her so soon. But I know that it is going to happen eventually, because it happened once in season one with Mouse and that other dude. And then same thing applied to the first episode of season two. So it's inevitable that those dudes are going to come back for the third season.
Yeah, I think that episode we talked about it, you know, and from, you know, looking on social media, like that's one of the most realist and hard to, you know, swallow episodes
Yeah.
because, you know, take away Euphoria's and they are the all the glitz and glamour. You know, human trafficking is a real and is real and it's scary, and
Yeah.
you know. It's not, I mean, you know, Euphoria is a they're not real show. Nothing's real on show, but they do a good job of not making it a 13 Reasons Why, you know, just for the pop. You know what I mean? Like they really will
Yeah.
go into detail, and instead of, glamorizing, doing drugs and doing this, they're gonna show you the hard reality. I remember the episode where she had gotten high, and she had it might have been that same episode where she was basically hallucinating, dancing with her dad in the church or whatnot. Like
Yeah.
that's, you go to New, I don't want to, have New York catch a stray, but like you go to, a city where, heavy drugs are used. You go on a bus, you go on a subway, you go on the street. I live in LA. I see it all the time. It's ugly. It's ugly seeing how they're interacting with themselves and,
Absolutely.
their brain just rotting away from taking these drugs and, alcohol and stuff like that. It's not all, it's not glitz and glamour. It's not fun and games. It's scary. And at the end of the day, are we, we know Zendaya. I grew up with Zendaya, since 12 years old. And, we all know them, and we know, some of the other actors and actresses, but these are kids that they're portraying. And,
Right.
17-year-old Rue, 18-year-old Maddie, 17-year-old Jules, all the other guys, like, these are still, they're 17, still, in high school. Like, it's scary to even imagine a kid younger than that, younger than, 15 going through these type of things, because that happens, and they don't always make it out. They don't always get a, storybook or a TV show happy ending or a safe rescue like a Rue Bennett does, or any other character for that matter.
Yeah.
And, when I watched it, I was like, yeah, this is a real one right here. This is maybe not like the best in terms of quality, but the best in terms of how real it really got, how dark it got. I noticed people were mentioning like Rue after waking up, all the other different holes from the injections of the morphine, all of
Yeah.
that, and they were questioning how long she was there. Sam confirmed that it was like a day, or that same that next day. But in real life, that that door that she got out, that door is locked from the outside.
Yeah.
There is no escaping that room, and you're lucky to not be chained to the bed. You know what I mean? Like, if we want to talk about real situations. And so, I'm hoping, for that person or thing that's trapped in that door, they get a safe rescue. But, in reality, these are not things to wanna you ever wanna look at and, indulge in. But I'm glad they handled it better. They handled it good, and I hope for season three a little bit more progression for Rue staying clean. I'd like to see how she can handle almost a full season staying clean, any differences.
Yeah.
Jules can transfer to another school or whatever. I don't really care. Kat can do the same thing, but this season's gonna be different. Fez is gonna, like you said, trials and tribulations. Kyle is gonna go through trials and tribulations. Nate going through a change potentially. Cassie and Maddie hasn't been resolved either. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
Elliot,
absolutely.
Elliot's a new guy. I think he's cool. He has a new dynamic. And maybe potentially we get McKay back. I don't know what happened with McKay.
Yeah, like I felt like there was a few characters that, like I mentioned before, were just either shined and some just stayed the same or just kind of inconsistent. With one of the things, case in McKay and his appearance in the first episode, I really thought that he was going to be here for like at least a few bits in the season, but apparently there was one of there was an issue regarding the vaccinations theories, not even theories, but a discussion of whether or not people should get the vaccine or not, whether they were pro or anti. And so the actor who played McKay had to some had something to say about it. And I guess one of the directors, either it was Sam or someone else, didn't like that, and that made him he just called him out off the show based off that. Now, granted, I don't know if there was any other stuff that happened behind the scenes. I'm not sure, but I can definitely say that that was one of the biggest, red flags regarding his disappearance throughout the season. I don't know about BB either, but I wish BB was in there more because she was funny as hell in the first season. And in the last episode, she got that same energy. So I wish I could see more backstory from her in the third season as well.
I like the twins. I like McKay's brothers because they're funny. I was hoping to see a little
Yeah.
bit more of them because man, anytime that they were around, it was always something, they're always cracking jokes and they were funny. Man, my guy Ali, man. I talked to Ali, man. He's really, I mean, now that I'm looking at it, he might really be the MVP of this season, even though he didn't have quite as much screen time as I wish he did. But the moments that he had with Rue, getting her back together, coming to her senses, Ali, first of all, the actor I love, he's great, and Ali the character, I've grown to liking him a whole lot more than most other characters because of. He's gonna keep it real. He's not going to sugarcoat anything. He's not going to, shift blame. Blame shift. He was very, vulnerable and accountable. And that special episode that I told you about, the Rue episode, that's my favorite episode. And with him, man, he's funny. He's funny and he has a cool backstory. Not a cool backstory. None of these backstories are like cool, but he has a real backstory from someone that is much older than most, and he has the opportunity, in which he's already doing, to be a sponsor or a role model towards Rue and other people that need it. And man, we were talking about it, man. I was like, yo. What is Rue doing being so disrespectful? Like, I was hurt by the
Sometimes I thought
comments.
that was out of pocket. For
Very
sure, for
out of
sure.
pocket. Here's a guy that is, going out of his way to make sure you're clean, to keep you alive, is vulnerable with you, and you say those things back in his face, man. It takes an honest, it takes a I don't want to say real, but it takes a good, just a good, patient man or woman to have, accepted that apology and, been over so quick to help. But again, the way I got to remember, I got to remember these are kids, even though 17, you know what you're doing. You know what I mean? You know what you're doing. You know what you're damn near adult fully, and you know what words and truths that people share with you shouldn't be ever, used against them. That's cold. That's real cold, man. Like, I was just so, I paused it, you know what I mean? I was just so taken aback and just like, wow. And it's cool that, like, they're not shying away from being out there with anything that they do. You know what I mean? With either Rue being disrespectful, because that's gonna happen. You know what I mean? That's gonna happen. When you talk to a drug addict, drug addicts are, they are more inclined to themselves, making sure that they're good. And you can't always be honest, completely honest or vulnerable with them, because
Yeah, no.
they'll use that against you. And man, more life to Ali, man. Talking to him is really helping me a whole lot, not gonna lie. And I've just out of curiosity, man, just with these talks I'm having with Ali, how do you feel about those talks with me and Ali? Like, and I get chased to the point, I sent you a hard hitting record that I was inspired by from Euphoria. A lot of Rue's and Lexi's and Ali's and everyone else, with knowing me and Euphoria, how it's going down. Like, when you heard that song, and it was even, obviously you're my engineer, So it was very rough. It was in its beginning stages. It wasn't even truly finished all the way. But
Yeah.
like, can you recall just how you felt, what you thought about it, and it's in that moment?
I would say this, that it was on a night where I didn't have anything to do, and I had stuff that was already planned, but I was scheduled them for next week, et cetera, et cetera. So as soon as you sent me the snippet, I checked it out, went to my phone, then I played it on my my computer, and I looked at it, I listened to it. Thought in my head, I'm just like, dang, where is this coming from? Because mind you, the stuff that you sent before, they were already good. They were already great even. But some of them weren't really introspective or deep like Far was. And that would caught me off guard because some of the references I got through, but some of them I didn't reference. I didn't know there were references to Euphoria itself. I thought that some of the stuff that was referenced to, let's say, Ali or Rue or any of those characters right now just made me feel like there was stuff that was more, I'm not gonna say bibliographical because that would make sense, but more metaphorical. But either way, I thought of him as really deep, and the message behind it as well, and more like, and it didn't even feel like a song for real. It felt like a personal journal or a personal diary that was just implemented into a song. That makes sense.
No, that makes a lot of sense because, I
Yeah.
mean, that's really what it was. And thank you for those honest and kind words. Like, I know I found that beat, and it felt cold. You know what I mean? Like a cold, in the winter type beat. You know what I mean? Like just
Yeah.
a rough, one of those types. And I found the inspiration for the name of the song by writing a song before that also intertwined with Far. And I was like, wow, like that sounds so cool, feeling a Rue. And I was like, wow, let me see if I can do if I've never really took something from a song that I wrote into making it into another one. And it was because Euphoria was just about to come out, Season 2 is about to come out, so I was really just, getting ready for it and getting back in that writing spirit. And, like you said, it was literally just me writing to myself, like talking to myself. The last couple songs, I've just been talking to myself, as I mentioned on another podcast I just had recently with a good friend of mine, Derek Haynes, my aunt. Well, first of all, December.
Right.
A couple of days before I moved into my new apartment, before I went to see Spider-Man, my uncle died of a heart attack. He was at work. He was working. And I mentioned in that song, I needed my fast to cope with my uncle being dead. Blood and the tears were shed on Lock with a Plan. Like, it was, this was way before what's happening now happened. And dealing with that, it was tough. It was out of the blue. It just the phone call happened, and it was just so, I felt overwhelmed, and I'm like, let me channel this energy into something I know I can really make something out of that's great. And the last song that I sent you, that's just me talking to myself about the situations happening, with my cousin dying,
Yeah.
passing away of cancer, my auntie, that I've known almost my entire life passing away, a lot of just passing and a lot of, grief and accepting and trying to stay afloat. That was really like the key instruments of my latest, I don't want to say success, but my latest run of, putting out and writing, creating vulnerable music, being open and making it more like a journal. Not trying to come up with a hit, come out with a bop, come up with a number one, but come out and create just open, vulnerable, real, honest music, and just so happens to have a cool title. I love acronyms, so
Yeah.
anytime I can, make something that would be a cool, deep acronym, I go for it. And Far, Feeling a Rue, just so happens to be. Be this one. And you know, what caught me off guard is the reaction that you had. You know, I take this, as artists should, that really are serious about it, I take opinions and I take criticism seriously. You know, I try not to take it personally, but, you know, I took it personally. So, you know, I did take it personally in a good way. I ran with it, and it only gave me more confidence and motivation to create, you know, more and better pieces.
Yeah.
Which I think I've been doing since everything. And, you know, with this one, just to hear the good words, and because of the inspiration, you know, it being from Euphoria. I love Euphoria. It's my favorite show. You know, that was just really cool because, you know, how much emotional ties I have towards, you know, Euphoria. And I think, you know, the references were so cool to just create. And, you know, I'm watching Euphoria as I'm writing and thinking of things. It was just a cool experience, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, Euphoria is a great show, by the way, if no one even noticed. But I love Euphoria. And, you know, I got a couple more Euphoria-type songs. And I was not like Euphoria-type songs, but just more open, vulnerable-type songs that, you know, have some type of relatability. And I think that's so freaking cool with Euphoria, is I can actually relate to, I can look at me like listening off, like it's like me, me talking about how many rings I got. I can relate to Rue with, you know, drugs. I can relate to Cassie and Lexi about, you know, a parent being in bad situations. You know, I can relate to, you know, needing an Ali, needing that mentor, you know what I mean? Like, I can relate to Jules, you know, moving and being in new cities, new spots. Like, there's so much relatability, you know, genuine relatability, genuine connections I have with these characters. And, you know, with the creator himself, Sam Levinson. And it's so cool to see a show that's not just, you know, screaming for pop, you know, number one trending moments, but is genuine with the art, the cinematography itself, not just the visuals, but with, you know, everything. It's just cool. You know, I don't have a single negative bad thing to say about Euphoria. You know, I like the length of the season, 8 episodes. You know, it's dang near like a mini movie, you know, with so much they put in those episodes. You know what I mean? Like, they put a lot of detail and a lot of attention. The music is always spot on. You know, the visuals is always spot on. The clothing, all that takes a lot of time and detail, attention to detail.
Mm-hmm.
Man, it's.
I think a lot of attention to detail also comes from the from the director himself. The person who made the cinematography the way it is needs to get a raise. Same for the people who made the videos for Atlanta. Both season one and two that you had. I don't know if they're made by the same director or the same videographer, but the way how each visual looks like a painting at every, you know, part, even the ones where it could be short, it could be brief, it sure as hell made a message and it made the point come across. Some bigger than others, some that were just very subtle, like I mentioned before. And with the show itself, I believe that there is more that they can do with that personally. And it can be on some, let's say, Malcolm Murray type levels, not the story wise, but just how each shot was almost one set through. I mean, granted, some of them were skipped through, but the whole general consensus is that there's only one setting to where they, you know, take a long video shoot, if that makes sense.
Again, just to reiterate, I wholeheartedly agree about the director of cinematography. You know, those that are responsible for all of the capturing those moments, the blocking, all of those things, deserve a raise, deserve a bonus, deserves a, you know, a new title, all of that, because
they need a fat check. Absolutely. Fat check,
man, like a little, literally a one of those checks you get from, you know, like those big big checks you win, $25,000, $50,000 on it. Like it's those little moments that make such a big difference, that make such, you know, those, it's those details that make what would be small moments, big moments, important moments.
Absolutely.
You know? And I feel like whenever I'm watching Euphoria, every second matters. You know what I mean? Never do I feel like, you know, this, oh, I could skip this, or this doesn't, you know, none of everything matters, from, you know, from how everything looks with, you know, the lighting and everything, towards like literally everything, every character, every home. It's all cool, man. And it's hard, bro, because I see like Sam just getting roasted for everything. It's like, yo, season one. Yeah. You know, season one is like the rookie year, bro. Like, you know, LeBron, he's always gotten better. But, like, you're never as fresh, as loose, as young as your first season of anything. And I feel like with season two, with COVID being a disruptor and with that type of expectations, it can be hard. I think season two definitely did, it knocked it out the park towards the later half. You know, some have said that season two start was a bit slow, which I agree. But I think later, throughout the season, the momentum definitely picked up in regards of the storytelling between Cassie and Maddie and Nate and, you know, Jules and Elliot and Rue and Lori, and definitely Lexi and Fez. And I'm more than happy that you know, season three is definitely season three got confirmed by HBO, I think, after the second episode. And I think that's a testament towards the greatness, towards their, you know, their path and their pace of, you know, putting out everything. And, you know, as long as they stay true to what they are, I think we have, you know, just greatness to bear hold of and watch. And I think with the art that, you know, we made with Far and the other songs that are inspired by Euphoria and just the looks. Listen, man, Sam, I know you don't got socials, but this can find you somewhere. Like,
you know, yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm more than open, you know? So,
facts.
With that being said, you know, do you have anything you want to get off your chest? Like, what are you doing? You know, what music are you doing? You've been playing Elden Ring. I'm not going to tell you what you did when you first got it, but, you know, how's...
Let me tell you something about this game, Elden Ring. Oh, my goodness. So, I'm going to tell you, after... I have this tendency where when I buy a game, I either look at it too much to the point I get overhyped and I get disappointed, or I just don't care about anything. I don't listen to news. I don't watch none of the videos. I don't even know when the fucking game drops. And then as soon as I heard that it was dropping the day, well, 2 days after Dying Light 2, which I was planning on getting, but I stopped and I thought to myself, I don't really play Dying Light like that. I played the first one, but I heard that was better than the second. And then as soon as I heard Elden Ring came out, I was like, since everybody else is getting it, I might as well get it too. See, that's what it's about. I love the Dark Souls game. So it was cool to me for me to like play it again, but on a 60 FPS scale, because all of them were very, very bad. The frame rate was damn near unplayable. But as soon as I passed the first day, I was like, I'm going to play it again. And then it got me addicted. And now I hate this game. But I love it, though. I really do. Because it's a weird flex, but I didn't sleep at all last night, like at all. I pulled an all-nighter and I tried my best to not do that, but it ended up happening because it's just that addicting, man. There's right. So much to do in the game. And honestly, I'm not even halfway finished to beating the game, nor is anyone else. We're just still trying to find stuff. Exactly, but we didn't know how games like Dark Souls would be, right. And we knew how easy we would get into beating it. Like, people beat Sekiro in under 20 minutes. I'm still surprised about that, but this game right here, nah, this is Skyrim / Zelda Breath of the Wild type of game length. It's like that much. But aside from that excruciatingly painful but everlasting game, honestly working on some more projects, mostly just beats for now, just making sure I lay the foundation now for both R&B and other genres, but mostly R&B. And then afterwards, debate on what project or direction I want to go with the music personally. Because with how I was looking at my past beats and the past music, it was over to a point where the energies were shifted in how each song was made. Some based on emotions that were based on, like, let's say, sadness, happiness, et cetera, et cetera. Others just came just from experimenting and knowing how I'm good with some of these things. Let's see if I can implement it in the way. That's what draw the inspiration with the last project I dropped. And knowing how melancholic and alternative that was, it made me want to think of what I can do to step that up. What other directions could I broaden while also trying to stay true to what I usually do, or the reason why I had to make beats in the first place. And truly, that project was all basically, it was a testament. Basically, it was a testament to how far I came with mostly baking beats. And it had to make me remind myself of why I was doing it, because throughout the time of 2020 up till now, it was like an excessive amount of beat block. And half of my other friends who also make music had felt that same way, but they still made music consistently. But I didn't think it was something that was, let's say, genuine or as hungry as we were when we first started out. But since we all knew how to do certain things and how we improved them, we just knew how hard we had to perfect that and to also be, or maybe adapt to everything around us, not just from making beats, but just from how to distribute them and just how to promote them, put them out, making sure that they all sound crisp, making sure the masters are right, make sure they have the stems in case anybody wants the whole thing, the whole project, whether a producer, an artist, et cetera. So putting all those things in consideration, it was hard to adjust at first. And then making us think that with how we make these beats and how we make these certain sounds over and over and over again, we keep thinking ourselves in our head that what was the purpose? What is the purpose of making this everlasting this everlasting niche that we have, that we created ourselves? And how can we just, like, keep that fire going? And truthfully, the only way to keep that fire going is if you just try to go and dead ass get more wood or anything to just bring that out. It could be the worst thing that you can find. It could be the worst log. It could be the worst coal that you could find in any place. But as soon as you put that in that fire, it's still gonna keep going.
Right.
Regardless, it's still gonna grow bigger and bigger. And that's one thing I had to realize as soon as I was making that beat. And, well, not my beat, but that album. And just seeing how well that it can also be implemented, because it was just hard to explain it at first. Because usually when people say the inspiration behind that, it was usually based upon the heartbreak of people, which is true. But also, it's just other things that were just there that I couldn't really describe, and I still can't describe to this day. The same amount of time I was delving into Frank Ocean's Blonde and how he created that sound. Not saying I'm not trying to copy that sound by all means, no. But I'm just saying the inspiration or the drive that he had to go through to put that out there, and seeing what he had to think personally, like the ideas and concepts in his mind. Mind you, this man has a whole lot of unreleased songs. Like, he has so many songs, he could drop an album right now and it'll probably sound great. But I guess he learned the masterpiece of quality over quantity.
Right.
So that's why I was trying to at least, detail and see which part will go on. And mind you, there were some songs that I put out and some beats that I also dropped that were also supposed to be on the project, but it didn't feel right to me. It didn't feel genuine. Some beats include Coco for Versace and Best Friends Part Two. Granted, those beats were just, like, recently posted, and I just laid on them for a minute, but it just didn't really feel like it was the right moment. But other than that, with the music right now, we're just going on a filler arc right now. So it's nothing, anything too serious, nothing too, you know, nothing too bad to the point where you have to pressure yourself to feel like, oh, can I still do this? Because at that point, after that album drop, I'm already solidified and I know that I can still make this shit. Like if I wanted to make, yeah, if I wanted to make some over the top masterpieces or at least a whole genuine project based on emotions or genres, that's success. That's acceptable. That has never been, it's never left. Like that's why that Energy Never Dies title is still there, because it was so many other titles. But everything around us is based on energy, right? Everything based around what we do, what we eat, how we act, how we speak. They all have a certain trait that we all need and we all need to operate, make sure everything is masterful and everything is organized. Because if it's unorganized, then it becomes a cluttered mess, not to yourself, but to others as well, and how they perceive you.
Right.
Almost like how Rue was in freaking season one when she was acting towards Lexi in that bathroom scene, and how she was
Yeah.
like, oh my God, you're not my friend. I don't need you checking up on me, et cetera, et cetera. Like those things actually do happen. Like you said, it's true. Like no one can take the emotions of a drug addict seriously because that can be like ammunition for them. And either way, no matter how hard you try to help them, sometimes it would just be harder than others. And some might be easier than others. And granted, I did not, I honestly, it's gonna sound a little fucked up, but I did not know who Lexi was until season two because I didn't see her that much screen time wise in the first season. I only saw her as, you know, the girl that Rue the shit on, and the other was when they were at that party and she was just as Bob Ross. Those are the only two moments I could think of in
Now that was a
Lexi's book.
moment. That's when I
Yeah, it
fell in
was.
love with the actress. I was like, wow, she can really like she can pull off that. That's to be a woman and dress like a man and still look somewhat attractive. That's hard, but you said a lot of things that made me that started making my head think about what we were talking about earlier about when you're putting out music, the that not knowing if it's the or not it not being the right time and not being it doesn't feel right. With you, I've been vulnerable about that insecurity, that anxiety of putting out music, on platforms and that. The thinking and caring about how it's going to be received and things of that nature. Can you, being an engineer, being an artist in general, when you're going through those feelings, what do you have to remind yourself? What do you go to remind yourself? Like, no, bro, like I'm that guy. This is my stuff. I'm that guy. Like, what do you do?
Honestly, I just remember the moments that people genuinely mess with my beats and how each one kind of made it feel like it was better and better. Granted, some of those compliments were almost backhanded, but not all the way, because some of the stuff I was still learning at the time, I was still young. There was like points where I get why they said what they said. Granted, I don't really care as much now that I ever do about people's opinions on what will sound good, what will sound bad, but great, but just from a general perspective, whatever moments that people might think that, oh, I might not like this beat. No, I won't like this beat. You gotta understand, there's a lot of people who don't have the same type of niche or basically music taste as you. They don't have the same music taste. You might have the best R&B beat in the world or the best hip hop beat ever created, sampled like on some Kanye or the Alchemist type shit. Just give that to somebody who's a rock head or a metal head or an R&B head. They might say this is ass. They're not gonna like it, and this is not my cup of tea. They might not know the layers of blood, sweat, and tears that you put throughout the percussions, the bass, the samples, the melodies, the EQ, all those shits. They're not gonna care about it because they're not really that type of person to delve in that music. That sound specifically. And especially coming from people who are engineers themselves or producers, they might say that they're gonna be some people that might say that they're great. Sometimes they might say they're not. So you can't really let that emotion get to them. Plus, keep in mind, there's over 1 billion people in the world. You can't let one person talk about how bad your music is when you know you have an outlet or a platform that it can be spread to billions. So if 1 million people might not like your music, granted, there's over like 2 billion people who might like it. You gotta remember that there's gonna be people who gonna ratio your shit, but don't let that make it feel like it's gonna be bad, because it's gonna be good if some of people say, oh my God, this person's music is bad, knowing damn well it's great. Damn, yeah, like it's based on, yes, it's always gonna be haters. It's gonna be a perception of them. And granted, some haters were more worse than others, but others were not as that bad, because at the same time, I kind of wish that I learned it sooner. But the best way to deal with that is just to keep making music, bro. That's pretty much it. Because at that point, you can't realize how a person might be feeling until after you've done the stuff that you did. Like, you do all of these beats and all these stuff still continuously while someone still might not rock with your music, or someone just constantly just talking shit about you on IG or social media in general. Notice how a year or two after, they're not going to drop the same thing, because they're going to be either inconsistent, washed up, or corny, or shit, all three, like the Holy Trinity. But it's not so holy in this part over here.
Right.
So, but like you know what I'm saying, like, over, you got to let time run its course. Time is the best revenge. You can't let revenge be acted upon yourself, because if you do that, then it's going to be way worse in the long run, I promise you. Whether it's towards someone else or whether it's towards yourself, it never works out. It never does. You got to let time and nature run its course. And then over time, you're going to see those results. You're going to see who's going to be still here to the end and who's not going to be.
Like Drake said, 10 years, you know, we see who's here from a decade from now.
Decade from now. That's real. Yeah. Nothing was the same. Nothing was the same,
bro. Like, you know, it's crazy because that was, what, 2013? And, you know, one more year.
Exactly.
That's crazy. And he's still here. He's great. Just to get this out the way, because we never had it on film, but Donda or CLB? I'm with Donda.
Donda.
Donda. Oh, man.
Donda.
And you know me. Y'all know me. I'm a Drake fan all the way. But when you got 24.
Yeah. For sure.
That's really all you need. That's all I needed, to be honest. I mean, remote control was just, you know, that was just an added cherry on top. You know, Donda definitely had a masterpiece, I'll say that. And it's, you know, a brilliant album. It was a lot, but, you know, he had so many great features on it. And it all made sense. It all sounded good. You know, The Weeknd, Jay Electronica, that's his name, Jay Electronica. He has such an amazing verse on one of those songs. Him and Drake basically was Team Cap versus Team Iron Man in Civil War, just calling out all the guys to go for it.
Basically,
And I'm hoping, you know, because CLB was mid, I'm hoping that this reconciliation between Drake and Ye, Good Music and OVO, they can focus on themselves towards just putting out genuine and just good music and just move on from there, and also make good music together, because we've yet to get that Drake and Ye, you know, co-op album. I'm hoping to get that.
Yeah, same, but that, I don't know, man. That's been so long. They might drop it as soon as we turn 35, bro.
Yeah, might as well, you know, go for it. But we still haven't got what a time to be alive too. We still haven't gotten that J. Cole and Kendrick. But, you know, with music, you know, there's a lot of music out there. You made a good point about, you know, promoting and things of that nature. As an artist, as an engineer, you're putting out music. Do you have like a safe space? Like, is it Instagram or Twitter or Facebook? Do you have like a go-to where, you know what, I know I can get what I'm looking for in terms of interaction or goals, you know, with my music, with my job? Do you have, or, you know, is there any website for up and coming artists that you know about that they could use towards building up their fan base and their name?
All right, so this is gonna sound crazy to you, and it's gonna be a wild take, but hear me out. It is none of those things. Plot twist, the best outlet to get those stuff from is TikTok.
TikTok.
Granted, yes, as bad as that sounds, you can dislike TikTok and all that stuff all you want. Granted, I don't personally use TikTok a lot, but you can't deny that some of the stuff that you would put on there, it's more easily accessible than stuff you'll see on Instagram, Snapchat, Twitter, etc. Twitter is a close second, but at the same time, there's a lot of weird stuff that happens on Twitter. You just don't want to go on that side of Twitter, and you don't want to go on that side of TikTok, but you most definitely see more on Twitter. But that's besides the point. That's for another debate or a conversation. But for TikTok, it's easy to promote your sound. It's easy to promote anything that you have as a content creator, no matter what it is, because someone's definitely going to like it in that said area. And I don't know how the algorithm is now in 2022, but I would say in 2020 and 2021, when it started to pop more, I just seen a lot of songs that we just never heard of become instant like that. It's so quick. Nobody would know the certain artists until after they drop this song, and as soon as they put it in their videos, he becomes a viral sensation. Mind you, some are more organic than others. Some have their own fan base, but you just don't want to make it feel like you're just a song and not a person. Because you got to separate those two whenever you have to speak out or trying to build a following. Because with those two, those are kind of easy to blur the lines a bit once you reach that certain point. You don't have to be all the way to the top, but it has to be somewhere where you're just starting to get a little buzz and that traction going. And you got to realize if you're going to see that buzz when someone drops another song or drops another beat or drops another video or just does anything that they do progressive after that said breakout or that breakthrough. Because you got to find a way to solidify that said fan base. So you want to make it feel like you're just a one-hit wonder.
Well, you heard it first from Amar the Prince. Feeling a rude challenge coming soon.
Yes, sir. Tune in. Tap into this, boy. Tap in.
Let me
Far is
tell you.
coming soon.
All right, look, bro. The challenge is you're gonna get a white substance and you're gonna insert it all at once. That's it. And survive. That's the challenge, is put inserting it all through your nose or mouth or however you wanna go for it and surviving.
Granted.
That's the
Yo, you're
challenge.
trying to make these people overdose, dog. I ain't gonna hold you.
Overdose on love, overdose on life. Okay.
Facts.
Again, the challenge is to survive. I'm actually trying to make a challenge. I'm not just, I mean, granted,
Yeah, it's
doing
too late now.
these dances are a bit challenging for me. I don't really know how to choreograph my body right, but I'm out here actually putting it on God mode challenges. But you know what? That is a great idea. Thank you for that. I'm about to download TikTok. I'm gonna post and then I'm gonna delete it because I hate it. But that is no. I'm still getting over it. That's a good idea. TikTok is the new wave. It's the new way to get popping, get known. And hey, if I can come over to
Yeah.
dance between now and then, I mean, I might just left foot up, right foot right, or something
Yeah,
like
you don't
that.
gotta do no dance videos or anything like that. Like, you don't have to go around that trend, but just anything you know that you can put your mind to,
Right.
then you can know that that's gonna be that foundation. You're just growing the seeds and then you're just gonna wait until those grow because you are an own energy source. You are your own energy source. You gotta keep that sacred.
Yes.
You gotta make sure that energy, that vibe, that's still intact. You can still be like a cold nigga, but at the same time, you gotta make sure that what you put out is real, and what you're doing, and what your motivation to your drive is also real. You gotta make sure that all those things are also put into your own creative process, and to never let that shit go. Because if you let those dreams go, then you're gonna let yourself look lost, and not just from you, but just from other people around you.
And now you said to not, I asked you about me and my music and finding a genre, and you said don't box yourself in, and I 100% agree with that. But take away the friendship, take away the broship. Me artist to engineer artist, no bias What do you think? Oh, this is my alarm. This was actually made for this. Take away all the bias from you to me with my music, with my creative process, when I'm asking questions, when I'm going all about my Kanye rants and spiels. What do you take away from LA Khalil?
As the artist itself or the music?
Both. But start with, you can start with the artist.
The artist himself, I would say that El Khalil is one of the most introspective and also innovative people I've seen so far. Almost reminds me of how I first started out and how I wanted to make sure everything was intact, because that perfectionist mindset is a blessing and a curse. So I can see how well that I can see how well that feature is amazing, and whenever he puts the songs out, and also whenever he puts any of his lyrics out, or his podcasts out, or anything around that matter. And I know that for a fact that with over time, he'll learn to make sure that whole sound that the artist is creating, not just the ego, but just the artist, make sure that everything is perfected, and that you find the niche and the craft that you want to do, whatever it is with your music. So I would say about Khalil is that over time, you just perfect your craft, and you'll just have your own sound. And then after all that, are you going to be a great artist today? Is going to be a greater artist tomorrow? That's facts.
I like that.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, Ski.
With that being said, that's cold hard truth right there. I take it all in, take it all with me. Shout out to our unofficial sponsor, Bed Bath and Beyond. All right, Japanese cherry blossom. You can get it from all Bed Bath and Beyond. It has shea butter and hyaluronic acid. It's 24-hour moisture. Okay. I highly recommend. I definitely did take this from my aunt when I went on my trip towards the south. And do I regret it? No, because I needed it and she has more. And thank you for sponsoring this video. Thank you so much. With that being said, my guy, right now I'm not feeling your rule, but I'm sure I will be soon because we're gonna have a lot of just a lot more to talk about. And we got another song working on the way. That's gonna be done by the end of the week, before the end of the week, and I can't wait for people to hear that. That's another, that's a safe. I don't wanna say safe, but you know, I was another one of those talking to myself, you know, and you know, this is the guy. You are the guy that's responsible for all these songs being made. We have a song together, you know, that I'm very proud of, that I'm very happy to have in the tuck and have, you know, ready to put out. You know, creating this project that I have, and you know, it's just good to work. One more thing for you, you're an engineer, you mix and master, you have services. I would like people to know how to contact you with these four services. What are your pricing for these services?
So for my pricing, and I'm gonna probably put this in chat, but for now I'm gonna just say that my social media for both BeatStars, SoundCloud, Apple Music, Spotify, etc. It's just Ahmad the Prince, Ahm, AAD, the Prince. Now for Instagram, it is the same thing, just with Ahmad, the two last A's converted to V's. But most of you just gotta worry about the SoundCloud and all, everything else, because that's the same way. You just type that up and you're good. My pricing for the leases, MP3 wise, range from $25 to $30. Masters, at least from Waves, and overall, like exclusive rights, $35. And that's about it.
Awesome. Well,
Hell yeah.
it's been fun. This is thank you for joining me short notice. Far coming out, Euphoria season 2 was a wrap. We're here on tap. It was an amazing season.
Facts.
Shout out to Lexi. Word it to Lex. Life is so complex, right? And I
Facts,
can't wait
man.
to for us to do this again. We got more music on the way, we got work to do, and You know what? More life. That's it. More
My
life, more
life, man.
music, more tunes, more on your head top. You already know what time it is, man. Cheese.
But Jesus, for real. Thank you for having me as well.
No problem. Peace.
Peace.